WWA TV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army, so we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits.
Hello, Bride. It's an honor to get to speak to you. We are honored to serve all of you and highlight your ministries and get the word out about what God is doing through you and with your ministry and in your area, even if you want to highlight what's going on with other churches around where you are. It's all about unity, and it's all about promoting everyone and bringing everyone together in unity under Christ. If you would like to advertise on us, we offer different options on our website at watbradio.com/advertise. And if you just want to donate to help us stay on the air and take care of whatever God presents before us, it's watbradio.com/donate. And here's June.
Hallelujah. Listen, Bride, the Lord has blessed us with the money to start watb.tv. This is going to start in the fall. We are so excited to bring unity at a new level and to be preparing platforms for the bride to be able to have a voice to reach the harvest. Amen. Now go to our website at watb.tv and register if you're interested in having a show on there or interested in participating in that. Amen. Now also, if you'll go to our website at wearethebride.us, you will see many different ways that you can engage with us. You can become a volunteer. On our volunteer page, we need many volunteers, web designers, graphic designers, people that will just take calls, people that are prayer warriors, people that can just type, people that can visit us in the different cities while we're traveling, anything, just go on there. Listen, we have the motto, just as I am. We will take you, just as you are. If you have the heart to love and to give back to the bride, this is the place to be, because we want all of us to come together. Look, this is God's ministry, and so we're just serving Him in the spirit of excellence. Amen. Now listen, all of you from other nations that listen to this broadcast, we now have a new director named Kenny Major that is able to focus purely on the bride overseas, and that if you go to our website, wearethebride.us/nations, you'll be able to register your nation. And also, she has a page on Facebook. And we want to build a relationship with you. So that is through WATB Nations. Okay, also, the WATB Bride Fest. Bride Fest is a ceremony of purification, basically. It's just giving your life 100% to the Lord, dropping all of your dreams and the way you think your life should be and everything, just laying it down for the call that God wants to do with us. It's rising us up as the army of the living God in this last moment. So check out the website at WATB Bride Fest. Also, if you have prayer requests, listen, we have an intercession team now. I think we got how many, Tristan? 12 or 15 people on the intercession team. Submit your prayer request. Thank you so much. Now, Tristan wants to say one more thing.
We'd really like it if the bride would lift up June as she's going on a month and a half long trip. She's going to be out of town, and she's basically going on faith. So if y'all would lift her up, that God would provide for her over the next month and a half, and that God's will be done, and that He would show up mightily. It's just a way of blessing and helping to unify the body of Christ even further. So just keep her in your prayers and your thoughts and lift her up to God as she goes forward and does His will as best she's able.
Hallelujah, bride. Okay, we pray that you enjoy this broadcast. God bless you.
Hello, bride. It's awesome to get to speak with y'all. Today, I'm honored to have my assistant director with me, Angela Walker. How are things going, Angela?
They're going wonderful. I mean, God is good, and I yet
Amen.
Have a praise for Him. Amen.
Amen. And today, we're getting to speak with an awesome man of God named Tony Nobles. He has helped to found the Clarksville House of Prayer. He's been involved heavily with Nashville House of Prayer and Worship City Prayer. And he also is involved with Sons of Thunder Worship Band Ministry. How are things going, Tony?
Thank you for having me on. Things are going well. I'm so excited to be here and be part of what you guys are doing. It just is. It's kind of like the oil of the Holy Spirit pouring over the sons of Aaron. How good is it? I'm thinking of Psalms. How good
Amen.
Is it when brothers come together in agreement? And so what you're doing here with the bride and sharing what God is doing is just absolutely amazing. So blessings on what you guys are doing and blessings through our brothers and sisters in the world in Jesus' name. So, yeah, I'm excited. Thank you.
Amen. So, Tony, how did you go from not knowing God to being involved in ministry and being so heavily involved in intercession in general?
Well, how long is the episode? It's only an hour.
We got a little bit of leeway.
Yeah. Well, I think that the thing is that for all of us, we all have a story that God
yes, we
is
do.
Doing. We all are part of His handiwork. It's what we call progressive sanctification. You know, mm-hmm. we have a positional sanctification. We are in a position that we are sanctified and holy because of what Christ did. But then there's the progressive sanctification of what He is doing to make us into the image of Christ. And He takes us from glory to glory. So for us, some of it's a long story. Some of ours is a short story. But I'll try to condense mine as fast as I can. For me, I kind of grew up in the church. What I mean of kind of grew up is, I had a mom who took me to church when I was young. And so I heard about God. I heard the message. I heard Christ. But it didn't stick in the way that I grew up because I was leaving a dual life. I remember in high school I had won senior supportives. They're supposed to be things that the best in the class or the best doing this.
Yeah.
And I think if I remember right, my senior superlatives was – I won two categories, and that was the person who knew the front office the best and the most excuses to get out of class. So but at the same time, at the church that I was going to, I also won a thing that they had. They called it the All Good Award, and it was for the graduating seniors, the top male and female of the graduating seniors who exemplified the Christian values and the Christian life the most.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can see, I had this dual thing going on. I knew how to behave in Christian environments and do Christian talk, but as you can see in my school, I was not living a Christian life. I was not living a submittedness to Christ.
Yeah.
And so as my life went on, I joined the Army. And I was serving out here in Tennessee in the 101st Airborne and really just kind of struggling and trying to make an understanding of spirituality of what was happening. And that's when I really had a big encounter. I had friends of mine that had been praying for me. They had given their lives to Christ, and we'd grown up in high school together, and they were praying that I would be born again, that I would come to Christ, a full knowledge. And so I went home on leave for one time from the Army, and when I was meeting with my friends from high school, they were praying with me and sharing the gospel, and I was just really wasn't interested. But the Holy Spirit began to convict me heavily of what I was doing. And at this point, I realized that I was not living I was living in sin. And when sin convicted me, I realized I needed a Savior. And so I remember that night struggling through it and giving my life to Christ. Now, that didn't mean I was perfect. I just had a lot of tears and a lot of weeping and a lot of promises that I made God in that hour. Yeah. But as I got back in the Army, and I was in the infantry, so I was trying to figure out how does Christianity play when you're being trained to fight war. And so I was trying to work out all these things, and it was really hard to make sense of it. Mm. And what I was struggling with was I didn't understand the lordship of Jesus Christ. You see, when Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he says, this Christ, after he gives a long sermon, he says, this Christ whom you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Savior, Lord and Messiah, King and Messiah. See, I didn't understand this paradigm that Jesus is both a Savior, but that Savior part of Jesus comes with his lordship. And you can't separate the two. I just wanted Jesus as a get-out-of-jail-free card. I like that Jesus. Mm. You know, but that's where all of my struggling came from, because I wanted to do what I wanted to do. So I hit this experience where I realized when I was in college, this lordship of Jesus Christ really came into my life. And when I was in college, my studies was philosophy, which is religious studies, and psychology. And I also took a minor in classical guitar. So word of wisdom for anybody who's going to college, please don't take two majors and a minor. You'll never get through.
Yeah.
That was not wisdom at the time. And what happened, though, is studying all of these world religions and Christianity side by side, I started using all of these philosophical excuses and came up with all of these reasons of why I should be able to do what I want to do. And it got to the place, Tristan and Angela, that honestly, I was at the place I almost didn't even know if Jesus was real.
Oh, wow.
If he was who he said he was. And what I came up against this the wall was I had realized that to be intellectually honest with what I knew and what I was believing, that I was going to have to make a decision on whether Christ was who he says he was, or if it's something that we made up as mankind. Yeah. And at that point, I realized that this decision was the most important decision of my whole life. That hanging in the balance, if I was right or if I was wrong, is whether or not I will spend eternity and where I would spend eternity. And Proverbs says, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes.
And I realized that if I, in my finite knowledge, in finite wisdom, made the decision that Christ was not going to be God and Christ was not even going to be real, that if I was wrong, I was endangering myself to eternity in hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I realized at that point that this was real. And so what happened is when you become real with God, he starts really dealing with issues that you're hiding, or that if you're smart, you've come up with arguments or things to excuse away. And what he dealt with me on was basically, I wanted to sin.
Yeah, I think everyone's dealt with that at some point.
Yeah, so it was an issue of I wanted sin more than I wanted the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so what happened is I said, if Jesus is Lord, then he has got to be Lord of everything. And if Jesus is Lord, then what he says has to be true.
Yeah.
And at that place, I was able to allow my heart, by the grace of God, to be born again and sit under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so what that to me is the burning teaching that is on my heart. All of these years later. And so kind of fast forwarding, getting into ministry, I had worked with youth, I worked with worship teams and prayer, and we were, had been a youth pastor, had been an associate pastor at a church, a small church, and helping things grow. And when we started working this one team, and we called ourselves Shigayanov, which is out of Habakkuk chapter 4, or chapter 3, and it's right in the very beginning of it. He says that he does this prophecy over a Shigayanov, and we looked it up because we thought it was a really interesting word. The drummer, of all people, was the one who came up with that. And it actually, it's a musical rhythm that's repeating that is normally accompanied with prayer or prophecy. Mm. So when Habakkuk on chapter 3, when he was doing all of those, when he's saying all those words, there was music that was playing, a powerful rhythmic music as he was prophesying that. So we said, okay, if it's in the Bible, let's do that. That sounds interesting. So we started trying to do this band, and we started reading prayers, and we started reading the Bible, and we played music, and we didn't know what we were doing. And we're at this church, and so we told the pastor, hey, we got this thing that we're doing with our worship team. Can we come maybe one night of the month and do it at the church? And at this church, we had grown to such a point that they were doing three services, so you really only could do, 15, maybe 20 minutes of worship, three songs, an offering, and a sermon, and you had to get everybody out the door, and then, do the next service, three songs, an offering, a sermon, get them out the door. Yeah. I think they would have wanted to do more and allow the Holy Spirit to breathe and do what He wants, but when you're in the constraints of having a small building and a lot of people and multiple services, they said, well, let's try and do it on a Friday night or something. Let's see if we can do that. So we did this Habakkuk prophecy, prayer, and worship thing, and the church came out, and it was a New Year's Eve meeting. and the church quite didn't know what to do with it. They were like, we've never seen anything like this before. Now, let me tell you a side story on this. A good friend of mine, they're now husband and wife, but this is before they were married. His wife was not born again, not going to church. She was in the army, had no interest at all of Christ and church. And the apartments of buildings are right behind this church building that we're at. And we were so loud, and we had kicked the doors open, that the music was floating on this apartment complex behind us. And she was on the porch listening to these sounds coming from this church that captured her heart. She didn't know what it was or didn't know why. She just thought to herself, this next Sunday I'm going to go there and see what that's all about. She came to that sermon, and a good friend of mine, he's the only guy that I know that can preach a sermon on tithing and people will come to the altar to get saved. And that's what he preached that Sunday, a sermon on tithing. And this friend of mine, his wife, who's now his wife, but then they didn't know each other. She came to that church because she had heard the prayers and the worship and this noise, not knowing it was. Her heart was burning with Jesus. And she said, I don't understand this money thing, but all I know is I need to be saved. And she came to the altar the next Sunday morning, got saved, and now she's grown so much in Christ that her and her husband, when they got married, they actually went as missionaries down to Miami and started and planted a church.
Oh, wow.
And now they've come back, and she now leads prayer ministries and prophetic ministries and things like that. So you don't know what we're doing sometimes, but God uses it to affect people all over. So how did that get into the prayer movement from there? Well, the pastor at that church knew Bob Perry. And Bob had been around the world and done prayer meetings and stuff, and he calls Bob up and says, Bob, I got these crazy people at my church, and I don't know what they're doing. Can you come up and see what's happening? So Bob comes up, and so we're doing one of our meetings, and Bob listens to what we're doing. He goes, oh, you guys are doing the IHOP prayer model. We were like, the IHOP what model? The next week, we were on an airplane and flew out to Kansas City to watch what they were doing at in IHOP and in the prayer room and how they were holding the prayer meetings 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days of prayer and worship, keeping the altar, the fire before God, as Levites in the house of God, praying and blessing the Lord and interceding like our great intercessor, Jesus himself, for the nations and for the bride. And when we saw them, we went, no, we're not alone. That's what spoke to us on our team, and my heart was, I'm not alone. There are other people that are burning for this thing and that the Holy Spirit is teaching and leading. So I started working with Bob. We helped with 7707 when they did the great day of prayer and repentance in Nashville. From there, we did NHOP and started prayer meetings. From that point, God led me down to Tampa for a while, and I came up here to Clarksville back here, and I really felt when God opened the door for me to come here, it was because of two things. One, by praying, I started reading about true fasting in Isaiah, when Isaiah talks about this is true fasting.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about taking care of the poor, feeding the homeless, giving clothes, taking care of your brother, your family, and these things. And it's not just giving up food. And I was like, Lord, I don't understand the poor. See, I had grown up as, you know, basically kind of like white, Republican, middle class, and that's all I kind of knew of church and community. And I was praying, God, let me understand the poor. Let me have your heart for the broken and the downtrodden and those that, Father, that are the throwaways. And so he opened the door, and I got a job in Tennessee here working in Clarksville as a social worker, working hand-in-hand with the poor in our community. And I really got to see things that I didn't understand before, and God really worked on my heart. And what happened is we also birthed the Clarksville House of Prayer out of a homeless ministry. Manna Cafe here in Clarksville, Tennessee, they feed the homeless, and they had a same heart for prayer and worship, and they said, use our warehouse. We had meetings where we had homeless guys coming in because we didn't have a drummer for that prayer meeting, and he would sit down because he had given his heart to God, but he was still living on the street. He'd sit down and play on the drums, and we were like, where in the world did you learn to play drums? An amazingly anointed drummer. So we were having encounters like this with God just rearranging our hearts. And then from there, and this has been my life message for the last several years now. When I was the director for the Clarksville House of Prayer, my vision is to restore the tabernacle of David by imparting a spirit-led environment based out of community that allows for deep communion with God through organic prayer and worship. For 3.5 years, I thought God was going to share with me the mysteries of God, the beauty of God, the heavenly.